Greetings, my dear light tribe. This is Solara Amra. The first webinar was called Activating the 12 Chakra System. And many of you requested a diagram of the 12 chakras. And I've produced this one that you see in the first slide. If you're on the phone rather than on the web, you can see that picture that I've created on my website anyway, and you can download it or print it out. And I will stress once again that this is a model. Your chakras obviously don't look like that. That's a 2D diagram, and I simply made it as simple as I could, with all of them looking like discs. In actual fact, although my guides call the chakras spinning discs, that is because they believe that that allows you to visualize something which approximates the spinning, rotating energy of the energy wheels or chakras, as they're called in Sanskrit. Chakra means energy wheel, which is simply because of the spinning vortex-like nature of them. But some of them you will tune into as a vortex, and others you will tune into as a disc, and it doesn't matter. It's simply that they are not static. They don't stay the same either. They become larger and smaller depending on how much focus in your consciousness you have on that particular disc. And I have tried to make the three above the head look like golden discs, and the two below your feet, or the one is very directly below your feet, look like silver discs. Don't pay that much attention to the size of the chakras, the fact that I've done the external ones larger than the internal ones. None of that is really relevant. Your own experience is what will dictate the reality of your chakras for you personally. Let's all tune ourselves in now. Understanding that your wish is your command. Say out loud, I call light to myself now. And this great column of light pours down from an infinite source above you. Straight down through your body and the layers of your energy, right down into the core crystal so that it illuminates Gaia below you and all the layers of the planet. This places you in a high vibrational state of being protected, happy, peaceful, and focused. Open your heart in love and gratitude to the Earth Mother now, smiling, sending that love from your heart down into your belly chakra, into the sacral chakra, and from there sending a grounding cord through your root chakra, through the Earth Star portal, and in to the heart of Gaia, saying, I ground myself into the heart of Gaia now. Notice what these invocations actually result in. Notice the effects in your body. For me right now, when I called the column of light to myself, it made me feel taller, very aligned, up and down, taller and thinner, more centered, and simply energetically made me feel that way. Because I am drawing all of my energy into this vertical column, which is connected with Source and with the heart of Gaia. Therefore, much of the energy which I placed in the outer world all day long has come rushing into me. It's the first step of reclaiming your energy. So now, that very important reclaiming invocation. Let all energy I have given away or left behind return to me now. Many of you will feel your body jerking in response to this. Many of you will feel a tingling sensation in your arms or hands as your energy returns. Especially those of you who tend to give a lot of energy out through your hand chakras. In other words, healers. Many of you will simply feel your force field becoming stronger. We're going to make this even stronger now by saying, I concentrate and expand my aura now. As you concentrate your aura, it's like switching a light bulb on, so that you are brighter and lighter, and I want you to look at your aura, sense your aura with your eyes closed, to the front of you, to the back, and let that be equal front and back. Most of you have a brighter or bigger aura to the front of your body than the back, and just through your intention now, let it be equal front and back. And then left and right, above and below. And if you look at the diagram, that beautiful golden egg shape of energy is now all around you. Let it expand or contract to a distance that is comfortable for you now. Allow yourself to feel the edge of your aura. And this can be helped by spinning the golden thread around. So from the very top of your aura, spin a golden thread of energy, golden white liquid light energy, clockwise or sunwise, around and around the egg shape of your aura. The widest part at your waist. And as this completes below your feet, you feel an inch or two thick crust, which is the edge of your aura. And this is the first message that my guides are asking me to give you when working with your own 12 chakras, is that you must be aware of the edge of your aura. You can do this before activating your prana tube or after activating your prana tube. It doesn't matter. But it's a case of doing whatever you need to do in order to be able to feel and sense your energy in this egg shape to the front and back, left and right, above and below. It doesn't matter whether you begin by imagining that you can feel or see this aura around you, and whether that moves into a felt experience, which can be very vague and tenuous. It doesn't have to be like a movie or a photograph, as clear as that. Simply a sense of it. Don't try too hard. And then spin this golden thread of light around the outside of that, which helps you to sense the edge of your aura. And they're going to explain why this is important when working with your 12 chakras. Let me first say, before I channel, that I realize I'm calling this working with the 12 chakras, but you have number 13 there, as you can see. Number 13 is the one heart, and I have depicted that as a pinkish, larger disc around the personal heart center. Once again, that is simply a depiction. It's the closest I could come to depicting it there. I have experience of the one heart sometimes as pink and sometimes as turquoise. The turquoise being particularly connected or related to the diamond light body aspect of the one heart. And don't worry about that number 13. It's one of the things that's going to be explained. But many of you know that there is a magic that comes when you add 1 to 12. 12 is a sacred number. It was the number of the disciples of Jesus. 12 plus 1, which was Jesus, equaled 13, and that was a magic number. Our Gregorian calendar has been made into 12 months, which has disempowered us. And when we move back into the 13 moon system, 13 moons in every year, we add that special number 1 to the 12, and we bring back the magic. The number 13 is not an unlucky number. It's a number of power and magic. And there is often an aspect where it's not a matter of counting 1, 2, 3, 4 until you get to 13. There's some aspect of the 12, the number 12, being overridden by or underlied by something special, which when you add on makes the magic. And this is the case with a 13 being the one heart in the system. It's outside of the system, it's overriding it, and it's also underlying it. It comes at the beginning and at the end of the system. Now I ask for the highest guidance possible to flow through me now with whatever we, Light Tribe of Gaia, need to know about working with the 12 chakras in this session. Greetings, dear ones. We are connected with you through your one heart and through your DNA also. We who speak are the councils of light. We are in this instance connected through the Andromedan councils of light, who oversee this project that Solara Anra has initiated. We will tell you first of all that Solara Anra has trepidation and reluctance over teaching this system. In many ways, her heart yearns to teach the ways of Babaji and to live in the way of Babaji also, in nature, living a life more simple, teaching the ways of the yogis through prana, pranayama, and meditation, shakti dance, and yoga. And this will come, this period of her life is coming, and she perhaps needs encouragement from you, dear souls, who listen to this, in order to continue with this seminar project, which comes in various stages. Her reluctance stems from the fact that she does not wish to provide notes and diagrams, and she does not want to put herself out there as an ascension teacher any longer. And so we speak now to her and all of you regarding this aspect. Many of you have got burnt out through your excitement over ascension in the years leading up to 2012, and there is some aspect of overkill. There is some aspect of burnout, and you wish to move away from the very word ascension and for all the concepts relating to it, particularly as you do not feel very different now than you did before 2012. Let us explain that in working with the 12/13 chakra system, you are working very much on an earth level to heal yourselves and your lives, to allow bounty and abundance into your lives, to bring perfect health into your physical bodies, to bring peace into your overworked minds. And all of these aspects are very human, are they not? At the same time, you are working with the out-of-body chakras, which help connect you to the source, to God, Goddess. And many of you have run away from the word God, even, in your spiritual path, because of the contamination of the religions through those that have held sway on your planet. And working with these higher chakras and the activating light of source through the great central sun will heal this for you. For you must be able to connect with God, whether you call God, God, Goddess, or Mother, Father, God. The aspect, the essence, is the same. It is the essence of source, of the creative source in the universes. And you must let go of all trepidation, of all dislike, of all confusion over the God aspect in the universes, so that you are truly able to receive the activating light of source, as well as the healing, energizing energy of Gaia. And both of these will open and activate your one heart in increments, in stages, until you are pure bubbles of joy and energy. Until you are bubbles of bliss and peace and happiness. And you feel yourselves flowing with the energy of all that is around you, within you, above and below in the other dimensions. And you truly are as one with each other. And so, if Solara and Ra, you accept these reasons and accept this mission to teach about this system, we promise not to mention ascension too often, and to keep our lessons based in the reality in which you live. So, that's very sweet from my guide. I always wonder why they insist on talking about me when I'm there and I can hear them, and I'm wondering where on earth they're going. But I have to admit, I was feeling trepidation before this. It's because it seems like a quite technical thing that I'm teaching, that I would rather understand it from my mind, my brain, before I teach about it, rather than just learning things as I go. And it is also because of a sense of burnout after 2011 and 2012. They are quite right about where I'm going, about wanting to be on a beach and keeping my teachings much more simple. But I love their reasons for continuing to work with the system and teach about it through these webinars. And so I do commit to continue with this. They can hear me questioning, well, how many webinars will there be? And the answer is simply stay in the moment and go with the flow. And so that is what I'll do. I don't know how many more there will be. I'll let them continue. Sometimes, by the way, I don't hear them finish their sentence, but I know where they were going in the beginning was, if you want more of these, then encourage Solara, because otherwise she might stop. But you don't necessarily have to do that now, because I've heard the message and taken it on board myself. We speak now of essential aspects when working with your own 12 chakra system. And we will speak later of working with another person's 12th chakra system through the Pleiadian Arcturian healing skills. When working with yourself, and this is relevant for working with your 7 internal chakras also, but much more so when working with the internal and external chakra systems, we ask you always to concentrate and expand your aura to a distance which feels comfortable to you, and to do what is necessary to feel, to sense and experience that golden crust of light around the edge of your egg-shaped aura. This is both protective and also it is useful, for you will feel your aura shape and size change sometimes, and this will help you to know what is going on. It will also stop energy from being drained. For your information, FYI, as modern humans like to say, you can do this with your aura before or after reclaiming your energy. Many of you who do the essential daily practices are used to feeling your aura before reclaiming it, and either way is perfect. If you concentrate and expand your energy body and then reclaim your energy, you will have a clearer sense of when and what energy is returning to you, and from which direction, or perhaps into which chakra. And so, this is number one, and we do advise the taking of notes when in these seminars. This number one regards being aware of your aura and the edge of your aura before working with your prana tube and your 12 chakras. Number two, activate your prana tube now. The activation of your prana tube is something which is very new in relative terms. The yogis were not used to this concept. Their work was primarily within the seven internal chakra systems, and they were aware of the energy tube which connected and flowed through the internal system, which they named Sushumna. Sushumna is an energy column which is relevant within the prana tube concept, but we would like to suggest that the prana tube is larger than Sushumna, and Sushumna is more of a column which is activated through Kundalini and more connected with the internal functions of the body, such as the fluid within the spinal cord. But we digress. Now, the prana tube is habitually extended past the crown chakra, roughly to chakra number three, the higher self portal chakra. And it is habitually extended down below the feet, roughly to the Gaia portal chakra. We activate the prana tube in such a way that it spins through the top of your aura and through the bottom of your aura, through chakras number 1 and 12. And we do this with specific purpose. What can this be? Think to yourself, if you know the answer to this, why is it that we are encouraging you from time to time to extend your prana tube up past your energy system and into the galaxy? It is, of course, so that you can plug into the great central sun at the heart of your galaxy, which is the center of the Milky Way. The center of the Milky Way is a very special place. It is the portal through which God speaks to you. It is the place through which the intelligence of God is downstepped and made accessible to you. And why is it that we ask you to extend your prana tube down into the core crystal of your planet? It is, of course, because there is power, energy, and healing available from this connection, which is far deeper and more profound than any other normal system of grounding into the planet. And so when your prana tube is plugged in to the great central sun above and plugged in to the core crystal below, you are able to access enlightened energy and information from above and from all the higher dimensions in your galaxy. And you are able to access information, healing, energy, and power from the core crystal and from Gaia herself, which assists you in assimilating energy. My guides want you to say, assimilating ascension energies. And then they said to themselves, we'd better not use the A word, just as we were promising not to mention it often. In other words, ascension. I think that's very funny. So I want you to picture, dear Light Tribe, this prana tube. As you can tell, we are not actually in a meditation at the moment, as we were last time. We're more in a lecture with the Star Councils of Light, and they're telling us the basic guidelines for working with the 12 chakras. And the first one, of course, was to always be aware of your aura on all sides. And the second one is to activate your prana tube, which they say, you know, is normally a small distance above and below. And it reminds me of the Merkaba meditation that's put forth by Drunvalo, where the prana tube extends up to the top of the tetrahedron and to the bottom of the second tetrahedron. And that's where it's sitting, basically. Your prana tube does not stay permanently plugged in to the great central sun and the core crystal. And it's not really meant to be at the moment. In exactly the same way that you are not active in your one heart center all of the time. And that's not really because you're not meant to be, it's just because you just don't manage that. Everyday life tends to bring you out of that state of love and unity consciousness, and you have to pull yourself back in. But your prana tube, I'm not going to ask my guides this question. I'm just going to let them say what they have to say, because I completely trust that they tell us what we are ready to know. You know, why weren't they teaching this through me years ago? Maybe because I wasn't ready to teach it, or you weren't ready to hear it, or the people that are attracted to me now are just the right people that need to be working with this in this moment. I just trust that there is divine timing about it. And so I am also warning you that some of you might have questions that don't get answered. I am simply trusting that what comes through is what is meant to come through in the moment. So the prana tube has got this beautiful crystalline quality to it. When you tune into it as crystalline, you come much closer to being able to experience it. And you can visualize it quite simply as running through all 12 chakras. So that's an element that I can add onto my diagram, is the prana tube running through all 12 chakras there. Okay, let me continue. So now let's presume that we have activated our prana tubes, not actually right now, but simply this is what they are teaching about, that we should do that. Now we will speak of the 13th as depicted in this model, the one heart chakra. Now, the 7 internal chakras, as we described last time, are governing the mental, physical, and emotional aspects of yourselves. Although, of course, there is also the spiritual aspect of yourself in the upper chakras. We will speak in simple terms of mental, physical, emotional, of the most earthy aspects of your personality incarnated self on the planet Terra. These chakras are energy fields that spin, thus making them energy vortices, and their wavelength or vibration increases as you move upwards, so that the root chakra has the slowest wavelength, and moving up to the belly or sacral chakra, this has a slightly faster wavelength, and so forth. So, when we compare these with the chakras outside of your physical body, the wavelength is distinctly different. All aspects of these chakras are distinctly different because they are designed to connect you into different energies which are of other dimensions. All of your internal chakras are sealed into your third dimensional body. The chakras outside of your body are different in that they are in higher or lower dimensional fields. The Earth Star portal being connected into the core crystal of Gaia, the Gaia portal chakra being connected into the entire body of Gaia, encompassing the first and second dimensions, whereas the Earth Star portal is primarily connected into the first dimension, and the three chakras above your head are connected into all higher dimensions. And where they are receiving information from or transmitting information or energy to depends on where you are at any stage of your evolution. The caveat to this is chakra number 2, the soul star portal. This chakra is primarily designed to radiate energy outwards rather than receiving energy inwards. And it connects in to the dimensions which are appropriate to your soul star family. To those planets or planetary or star systems which you are connected with. And now we come to chakra number 13, which appears as if it is in your 3D body. It is not, dear ones. It is in your fifth dimensional body. And this is a body which you are sometimes connected into and other times not. It is an aspect of yourself that is integrating with your third dimensional aspect. So they showing me our physical body, let's say my physical body, with my spinning chakras, my seven internal spinning chakras, and they're showing me my one heart center, and that is in the same place as my heart center, but it is bigger actually than my heart center because it relates to a body which is bigger than mine, an etheric body bigger than mine. Just as when you are fully integrated with your higher self, you will experience your higher self as bigger than your physical body, like an energy counterpart of yourself. In other words, a body which looks the same as yours, it's the same sort of shape, but it's bigger and it's much, much brighter. They're showing me my fifth dimensional body as blue-white light. And that is how I have experienced many star beings. It's how I've experienced my higher self from time to time. Sometimes when I experience my golden angel presence, which can be equated to the higher self, but when you really tune into the angelic aspect of that, it always has a golden aspect. But the one heart I am experiencing in this moment as bigger than the heart center. I am experiencing it as turquoise right now rather than pink. It doesn't really matter how you experience it. And I'm just experiencing the energy as much, much more refined. So in the same way as the energy of your upper chakras is more refined than your lower chakras, and that doesn't mean your lower chakras are not as good, they're just different. They're just heavier in vibration and wavelength, deeper and more going towards the physical. And your higher chakras are going away from the physical. Now, the one heart chakra has got the fastest wavelength, is what I'm getting, and the most light out of all of these chakras that we've spoken about, the five outside of the body, the seven within, and here comes number 13, and it's one step above and beyond all of that. At the same time, there is this aspect where the one heart is not only overriding all of this, it's also underlying all of this because it is part of our true nature. Just as our fully realized self is there, available at all times from the moment we are born, so this one heart center is part of that. It is part of our fully realized self. It is the heart center of the of our ascended selves, fully realized, enlightened, unity consciousness, Christ consciousness self. So my guides want me to look at the questions, even though we're not quite at the hour yet. And let's just see what people have to say. Jan, from Roberts Creek, BC, says this is life-changing for many of us. Thank you so much. Your work is so important and much easier to follow than many things I have found since 87. Thank you very much for that comment, Jan. I really need the encouragement that this is actually easier to follow. I think one of my blocks about going into teaching this level of work is because it doesn't seem simple to me. I prefer working with simple things like the breath. So, Siobhan from Oakland, California says, are we supposed to be standing up or can we sit cross-legged? That's a very good question. I am sitting cross-legged at the moment. Sometimes I sit on a chair. The only reason I have got the, in the diagram, I've got the man standing up is because I needed to show that the Gaia portal chakra number 11 was below the feet. And it's quite difficult to show that unless you actually have a standing figure. So people do ask as well how to experience the Gaia portal chakra if you're sitting in a chair, you're not standing, or if you're sitting cross-legged. And the answer is, it is very much connected with your feet. So you can do it any way you like, but when I'm sitting cross-legged like this, I tend to imagine that my legs are going down and that I can feel that Gaia portal chakra. So whichever is easiest for you. If you are someone who is able to sit cross-legged and still feel the Gaia portal chakra relating to the soles of your feet without imagining that your legs are down, then do that. They are going to teach more on the Gaia. In fact, let me just channel on that, on the Gaia portal chakra, because I know that part of the purpose of today is to teach you more about those five chakras outside of your body. So let me channel on the Gaia portal chakra. Just as we have explained, that chakra number 2, the soul star portal, is primarily designed to radiate energy outwards rather than receive, so we will say that chakra number 11, the Gaia portal chakra, is primarily designed to receive healing and integrating energies from the earth into your physical bodies. The Gaia portal chakra cannot be open when your heart is closed to Gaia. So when your heart is open and you are in a state of love and gratitude for Gaia and aware of this area below your feet, this chakra switches on and allows an inflow of energy. This inflow of energy heals on many levels. It does not activate, it heals. The energy which comes in through this portal assists you in the integration of higher energies as they hit your planet and your own energy field and body in waves and troughs. It assists you when you are in the wave, and it assists you once again when you are in the trough. And so, whether you are feeling overactivated and as if you are losing your mind, or whether you are feeling exhausted, lethargic, and unmotivated, and therefore in the trough, in both of these circumstances, you will receive healing, integrating energy from the Great Mother to assist you with this energy shift. Those whose hearts are closed to Gaia, those who do not want to be on the planet and constantly wish themselves elsewhere, know that you cannot receive healing through the Gaia portal when in this state of mind. This is why we repeat over and over again that you must stop looking to escape life on your planet right now. You must choose to be fully embodied and in love with the planet, the people, and your life. And if it is not possible for you to be in this state of mind, then you will struggle, and your decision to be miserable, depressed, and in a state of constant bemoaning of your fate on earth and complaining, life will simply bring you more of this. If you choose to live your life to the full, to make decisions and changes that benefit you, if you choose this, dear ones, you will find yourselves more and more in the now moment and more in the flow of positivity and love, which is the creative force and the creative source's energy. As you open your heart to being right here, right now, and you look around you, smelling the roses rather than the doo-doo, so Gaia will assist you with the transition. It is not that as the divine being that she is, she chooses to exclude certain beings from her healing powers. It is simply an energetic fact that we give to you, that when your heart is closed to Gaia, the Gaia portal chakra cannot be open. So I find that really interesting. They're using the term in my head, scientific. They're just saying it's a scientific fact. You know, that chakra is there. It's always been there. And this is how it operates. It doesn't work, basically. It doesn't function. It can't be part of your fully connected 12 chakra system if your heart is closed to Gaia, and that's that. It's not something Gaia's doing to punish people that don't love her, because people could have not studied anything spiritual or do any spiritual practices, and they just love Earth. They just love nature. That means their heart is open to Gaia and the Gaia portal is open and assisting them. So it's not that you need to know about the 12 chakra system. They're just explaining how it works. So let me look at the questions again. So Cindy in Sarasota says, can your guides address how the chakra system connects to the meridian system and why it is some people just keep getting so many blocks in their energy system? I would think we were designed to not need such constant maintenance. That's a very interesting question. So let's look at the first part of the question. How does the chakra system connect to the meridian system? So the meridian system, I'm assuming that Cindy is referring to the system that is used in Eastern medicine in shiatsu, acupressure, acupuncture, and so forth, where these energy lines run through your body. They are not part of your nervous system as such. They connect into the nervous system, but they are energy lines that run through and connect in particular with various organs, and they run right from head to toe. So I'm asking my guides, because I don't know the answer to that question, how does this troll chakra system relate to that? The internal chakra system is more directly related to the meridian system, dear one, because it relates more directly to the third dimensional body and the functioning of organs and glands. As most of you know, each of the internal chakras is related to a gland of the body, and it interfaces not only through this gland, but also through a nerve plexus within the nervous system of the body, thereby affecting your general well-being and health on physical, mental, and emotional level. The meridian system is outside of this. The meridian system interfaces with both the chakra system, with the physical body, and also in a third aspect with the electrical light body. The electrical light body is part of your etheric body system. It is separate from the chakra system. And so, to a great extent, it is not relevant in this discussion. It is more an enlightened system that has been developed to work with the health of the 3D body and 3D aspects on another, more subtle level. Of course, all work with all chakra systems, internal and external, will impact on your health and well-being, and therefore the meridian system also. So I hope that answers that. They are saying it's not that worth thinking about at this point of the conversation, particularly because some of you listening will get confused, and we're not working with a meridian system that's used in acupuncture in the system as they're teaching it at the moment. Second part of that question was, why do some people keep getting blocks in their energy systems? Why are we not designed just to fix ourselves? Okay, I'll answer that myself, because I know that we are designed to be self-regulating and self-healing, but we have so many thoughts and beliefs and emotions connected with them, and habits that are not self-serving, that we continually dysfunction. So let's talk about root chakra issue, which is most of your favorites, because it concerns the aspects of money, home, and job. Everything to do with security in your earth body and your earth life. So it's a biggie. It's a real big one. There are very few human beings that don't have some level of dysfunction going on in their beliefs, thoughts, emotions, etc. about home, money, and job. Not permanently, it's just that they go on and off. So for instance, my root chakra is definitely having a massive, I don't know what to call it, but it's overactive at the moment in a slightly dysfunctional way because I've decided to uproot myself, because I've decided to leave England and go and live in Ibiza, and everything in my heart and mind and body and everything knows that this is a positive move for me at the moment, that I need to be out of the city, somewhere in nature with more sun, with the ocean. I need to be away from my old life in London, and I need to be close enough to my children so Spain is not far away. And I know it's the right decision, but that doesn't help me from worrying about aspects about it or planning and thinking about it. Aspects of the big move, uprooting, and then going to a place where I don't know anybody and rooting myself again. So I go through patches where I'm absolutely okay and in the moment with all of it, and then patches when my mind or emotions take over again and I'm in disarray about it. And so I have a root chakra at the moment, which is giving me a sore back, a lower back, and I'm working with that on different levels. And I'm a spiritual person. I do spiritual practices. I've learned lots over the years. Shouldn't I just be able to keep my root chakra clear? Well, apparently it's not possible at the moment while I'm still very human and I'm making such a big change. So what can I do about that? I can do chakra meditation, I can journal, I can work with my guides about the move, I can do everything in my power to stay in the moment and empowered about it so that my root chakra is as healthy as it can be. But chances are it's not just going to be completely, fully functional and together again until I've moved and I've really grounded myself in another place. So the answer to your question is simply because we're human and because we're stubborn and we constantly let our old patterns resurface. One of my old patterns is planning, you know, being too much in the future rather than now. I'm very good at planning. I'm much better at looking forward than I am at looking back. And I'm better at looking forward than I am at being in the moment. So I am retraining myself through the stuff that I teach to be more and more in the now moment. But I'm not there yet 100% of the time. And that's the answer to your question. We're all just human. And some people are much more stuck in their old negative patterns and they have such resistance to change that they, you know, they're just not moving forward in their life. And if you're a healer, which it sounds like you are, and you get people that keep coming back with the same thing, well, when I was only a healer before I started teaching, I actually would sign somebody off if they didn't get better fast enough. If they came to me on a third occasion and repeated all the things that I'd already given them advice and healing on, I would more or less give them one last chance. I'd say, well, if you don't find anything improving, you feel exactly the same way again, I don't really want to see you again. You know, you have to get something from what you're being told by my guides and the actual healing that's happening, and you have to move on, otherwise there's no point. I don't want to just keep taking your money. Adam from Hawaii asks, do the 12 chakras correlate at all to the 12-strand DNA? Yes, they certainly do. The 12-strand DNA also has this aspect of 13. The 13 is what is created when all 12 are spinning together. I'll say that first of all. In my initial essential daily practices, which was the first meditation that I ever put out, and I still the most important one in my opinion, or one of the versions of it, I have an invocation. I ask for my 12 chakras and 12 strands of DNA to be activated now, I think the words are. And what I've realized since then is that it's the spinning of the 12 chakras that helps the 12 strands of DNA to coalesce. So it's not to say that working just with your strands of DNA on their own isn't going to be effective, but for me, I am mainly working with the chakras now and then bringing a visualization of the strands of DNA. So let's say you are doing one of the forms of that essential daily practices that has that invocation in. When you say it, have this instant visualization of your 12 chakras spinning, which is now much easier since I've started teaching the system, and I will produce a shorter 12 chakra activation meditation, or it might not be called activation, but it will be a 12 chakra meditation, so that it'll be easy for you guys to do this quicker. Just visualize those 12 chakras spinning, and then it's almost like, rather than visualizing, watch the strands of DNA coalescing. They are, it's like watching little bits of light being drawn onto a piece of string that isn't lit up. And you're watching these little bits of that string light up so that it coalesces into a solid string. We're in the process of our strands of DNA being activated, and all of us are at a different stage as far as that goes. Of course, people immediately from their ego want to know, how many strands of mine have been reactivated? Well, it actually doesn't matter. None of us have all 12 spinning all the time. I think it's a bit like the One Heart Center, which is not active all the time. I think there are times when in your fifth dimensional body, your ascended body, your light body, your 12 chakras are all coalesced together. But when you go back just into a third dimensional body experience, not all of them are functioning. They're just coalescing, and it really would serve you, all of you, to just trust that they are in the process of coalescing. As far as your 12 chakra system goes, it is there in place. It's there in place. The 12 chakras are not always communicating to each other perfectly. There's not always this perfect spin of energy up and down through the 12 chakras, but in exactly the same way as there's not always a perfect flow of energy through your internal seven chakras according to what's happening with them. I know that one of the things that I will teach as part of this course is connection between the internal seven chakras, because many people don't understand that it's not just about opening each chakra one at a time. It's about getting them to communicate with each other, and there are pairs of chakras that are particularly connected with each other, and you can work with the connection between those internal chakras, and so that is to come. Mauricio from Tel Aviv says, I was expecting some great event at the solstice and nothing major happened. It was very frustrating. Mauricio, I'm going to refer you to the latest channeling from my guides, which is in my January newsletter. My newsletter function isn't working on my website, which means it hasn't been sent out to you, but it is live on my website. So if you look either at the most recent channeling on my website, or you look at the newsletter which contains that channeling, my guides are speaking of that there. I do totally understand your frustration. Many of you sent me gorgeous messages. Thank you so much. I'm looking for a good question. Aha. Hans from Holland. Hello, dear Hans. Says, is the one heart a combination of the thymus and the heart chakras? The thymus gland is related to the higher heart chakra. So that was the first thing that we heard about that was different than the normal personal heart chakra. Is some years ago, healers started talking about the higher heart chakra, which relates more to the thymus gland as the throat chakra relates to that as well. And the higher heart is related to the throat chakra as well, but I won't go into that now. I'll leave that for the discussion of the internal chakras. So I will take your question, Hans, as is the one heart a combination of the personal heart chakra and the higher heart chakra? Yes and no. It is, in that when those two fuse, you get the higher heart chakra. And the no is simply what I was talking about before, in that on some level it is completely outside of those chakras and that whole system, the physical chakra system. It's fifth dimensional. So there's a yes and no. Jan says, it's getting more and more difficult for me to deal with the energy of alcohol, even people who were drinking the night before. What is the best way for me to handle this energy? Interesting. So you're not saying it's more difficult for you to drink alcohol yourself or to handle it. You're talking about other people drinking. Well, alcohol does many things. Firstly, it lowers your consciousness, so you become less and less conscious, which in one way of thinking is what feels pleasant to people, because it stops you from thinking clearly and you start thinking on a much more childlike, primitive level, and your pleasure senses are activated so that you want simple pleasures in the same way as they are really when you're stoned, when you have grass or cannabis. And when you've been working very hard, when you've been very stressed, when you've been overwhelmed and you have some alcohol, it makes you chill out, which is why people have got addicted to it. But that chilling out involves becoming less conscious rather than more conscious. When you meditate and you chill out, you are becoming more conscious, and this is what's desirable. So most of you know that already. What you might not know is that alcohol makes your aura weak. It's extremely difficult to have that bright, clear aura where you can feel the golden crust, the energies of your aura, when you are drinking. And even when you have been drinking, it makes your energy field really weak, which means that you can leak energy really easily, and it means that entities or negative energies can come in to your aura very easily. So this is why on my courses I ask people not to drink, and not to drink beforehand if possible in the week leading up to the course, because it makes your energy system vulnerable. It is very, very important not to drink before, during, or after channeling or connecting with your guides, because stray entities can find a way into your consciousness or a way of connecting into you. And not all of these are evil entities. Some of them are just misguided or lost beings like ghosts that are in the in-between worlds, or they are a bit mischievous rather than evil. But then some of them just have awful, heavy energy. And if you are channeling with very clear guidelines, as I teach in my online channeling course, you would feel this instantly and you'd cut that connection off so it wouldn't be dangerous. But you have to question what made you attract that negative or lower feeling energy to you. And very often the answer will be because you have imbibed heavier foods like meat, or foods that weaken your energy body like alcohol. So it is the weakened energy field that you get from alcohol that makes you easily depressed. Many of you who have managed to drink all the way through your spiritual life and path are now finding that when you have a hangover, instead of just having that physical hangover, you are actually depressed. You feel disconnected from your higher aspect, your higher self. You are unmotivated to meditate or connect with nature. You're depressed, basically. And that is because of that weakened energy field. So it's crucially important not to do anything that makes you feel like that now. The reason that you are being affected by other people that have been drinking is because they have confused energy. They are not holding their normal increment of light. They have that tendency towards confusion or depression. That confusion in their energy body will lead them to pick fights more easily, act in lower ways, and you no longer have the same friend with you that you would normally have when they're not in that energy state. So all you can do, if people have been drinking and they, you are in their company or near them, is simply concentrate and expand your energy field. Spin that golden crust of light around. You can clear your energy field by asking for a golden rain shower from the angelic realms. You can do any of those things and then stay aware of that even while you're talking to them. So you just stay aware of your, of the crust of energy around your aura. Stay aware of it while you are communicating with them. And you won't be adversely affected at all. So one of the reasons that you're asking that, Jan, is your name might be Yun, I realize, by your surname, so apologies if I'm saying the wrong name. Yes, my guides are saying to you, the message to you is also, you deal with your own energy when you are around people like that. So don't blame anything on them. If your energy is being drained, it's because you are not in control of your own energy body. So Adam says, what about the colors of the 12 chakras? I've seen several different versions from different sources. Absolutely right. My guides are purposefully not giving you chakra colors for the external chakras. There are many, many complicated systems, and a lot of them use these new colors like platinum blue. They use iridescent this and that, and a lot of complicated colors. My guides don't think that it matters. If you spontaneously feel or experience a color relating to one of the outer or inner chakras, then let that be. ask for a clear yes or no if it serves you to hold on to that experience of that color, and just let that be. The reason that I'm using the, or that I'm being guided to use the golden and the silver discs are because I follow a tantric Kriya system in which the energy from source is depicted as golden electrical Shiva energy. And there is a very clear purpose to thinking about the energy of source in that way, that electrifying, enlightening, sparkling energy. And the energy that comes from Gaia, the Shakti energy, is deeply magnetic and silver or lunar in nature. And that's why I've used those colors. The internal chakras, my guides persist in saying now that no matter how much people say they're changing their colors, there is still a point to thinking about them in those rainbow colors, in starting from the top, the violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, red. But there is an aspect of them getting more translucent, more subtle, more silvery. There is an aspect of them going like that. And there is also an aspect of the seven internal chakras being replaced by counterparts that fit in with the 12 chakra system. So some of you that were on the Awakening Light Body course with me in various countries, you were sometimes given a replacement chakra, and that does happen sometimes. You don't have to have a healing session in order for that to happen. You can actually just be given a, it feels like you're having a chakra transplant when you're really due for an upgrade. And my guides are saying to me in this moment that it doesn't only happen once. It can happen more than once. I'm going to answer one last question, which is from Isabella in Dublin. Hello, dear Isabella. She says, what can we do to adjust to the raising energy of Gaia to match her frequency? At the moment, she says that she's feeling so spaced out, and she sees other people that are spaced out, and she's not quite sure what to do. So, Isabella, some of you are feeling spaced out. Others of you are feeling completely the opposite. You're feeling laid down, glued to your beds, basically. And others of you are feeling perfectly aligned, harmonious, happy, balanced, healthy, peaceful, and all the rest of it, where you're in the middle. You are not all experiencing the same thing at the same time. And for myself, I will literally feel spaced out 1 minute, and during the same day, I'll feel laid low. During the same day, I will feel perfectly balanced. And that's how fast it can change for me. It is because of the changes on Earth. Now, things may not look different around us since 2012, but I can tell you they are different. The energies of 2013 really are different, and I'll get you to read that message in the January letter, but I will just briefly channel, I'm going to go slightly over half fast, I'm going to channel a message about how the energies are different in 2013 and what to do about that in conclusion now. Oh, so the highest guidance to flow through me now. Dear Earth people of Terra, these are the differences now on your planet in 2013. Firstly, you are able to manifest things quicker and more easily. simply by opening into your heart consciousness, connecting with your higher selves, and then daydreaming, if you like, about what you truly desire, ensuring that these daydreams are in alignment with your highest good. So, for instance, daydreaming about winning the lottery is simply a material daydream. You would be better off daydreaming about where you wish to be if you had sufficient money. What are the qualities of life that you truly desire? All those things that are making you deeply unhappy, hold qualities that do not serve you. Look to the opposite of these, having learned what you do not want in a home, a place of living, a relationship, a job, and so forth. And choose to hold vision of the opposite of that which would serve you, knowing that if you underlie this with the caveat that this is for your highest good and the highest good of all, and that you wish to be of service to your tribe, that these factors also will draw towards you that which will serve you and bring you joy also. The reason that you are able to manifest more quickly and in this simple way is because you are moving into your fifth dimensional selves. Your fifth dimensional selves are integrating into you now, and you are able to move from your self into your higher dimensional self in your meditations and spiritual practices. If we take one example of this, let's say your personal heart chakra within your physical body and how it is designed to give and receive love to those close to you. And then you expand this into your one heart center, which is fifth dimensional in nature, which allows you to give and receive love to all sentient beings in all universes. You will understand the difference. And moving between the one and the other is an example of slipping in and out of the third dimension. So, this number one refers to your ability to manifest more easily. And it incorporates the second thing that we wish to mention, which is that you are more easily able to experience the higher dimensional aspects of yourself. Many of you, when doing meditations like chakra meditations, are noticing that you can see and feel and experience these energy vortices in a very real way, in a much more real way, whereas previously they seemed to be visualizations or imaginings on your part. It is easier for you to see, feel, and experience all aspects of higher dimensional life. But you do need to try this, to actually do this, to meditate more often, and to use energy commands and invocations more often to control your emotional state. Number three, it is not possible to live in such a way that does not serve you without experiencing extreme discomfort. This was true before 2013, but it is more so now. Many of you are being forced to make changes because you find yourselves utterly miserable if you do not. And Salara Anra is one of these. Let us use an example from her daily life at the moment. And we do not refer to her move to the White Island of Ibiza. We refer to this time in which she is still in London and is choosing to ignore her writing, rationalizing that she has so much planning and organizing to do that she can't possibly write. She is finding that if she does not write, she is miserable, for the time is now in which she is meant to be completing her book. It is a timing which has been given from her higher self. It is in accordance with the will of her higher self and ascended being that she completes the story now. And so, if she chooses to rationalize herself away from this, she becomes miserable. And when she chooses to follow her soul's urging to continue completing her story, she is once again in alignment. And so it is. We hope we have helped you, dear ones. We are with you. Our love is with you. Always, in all ways. And so it is. Namaste. That's my guide, using an example from my personal life once again. I hope that helped you, my dear Light Tribe. I love talking to you, and I am getting more chilled about these webinars, so I will announce the next one soon. I've overcome my mental block about teaching the stuff, as I realize I really am meant to be teaching it. Great love and blessings to you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Namaste.